Here we are for our roundtable, though, and this week I'm actually going to step away from the mic and let a group of guys take over because they are going to be answering questions from women in our listening audience. So if you've ever wanted to get inside the male brain, this week is your chance. I know I would love to, so stay with me and let's take a listen.
Hey everyone, I'm Patrick Dunn, and I'm here with Jake, Jeremy, and Ross, and we're going to be answering some questions today. I have to say, I feel a little left out. I'm the only guy without a beard. So, possibly yes. Next time the four of us could get together, maybe I'll catch up a little bit.
Coordinate.
Yeah, with the facial hair thing.
I mean, we're already there, so yeah. You just got to get on it.
I got some catching up to do.
Have you ever grown a beard?
Not intentionally. No, I think actually,
accidentally?
Were
you in a coma?
Yeah, it's you know, if you're sick or you've got the busy week and you don't shave. But seriously, for me, like, I get a 5 o'clock shadow after about 10 days.
Okay.
So, you guys are way ahead, and I don't think I'd ever actually catch up. So,
would your wife allow for that?
I think so. Yeah, I married a farm girl, so I think she'd be all about it. But
it'll
never happen.
I think my wife told me she hates my face, so I grew a beard just so she would like me.
To hide it.
You know?
Yeah. She's like, well, it's not so bad when I can't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep growing. Just, and if you get like a unibrow that...
Yeah, it could cover
the rest.
Could
you be like one of those wolf men? That'd
yes.
Where it just grows on your cheeks and your forehead and your nose. That'd be great.
Out of
that
my ears.
Would be awesome.
Yeah, let's do this.
So we're doing good so far. I think we've answered a lot of questions.
Yep.
We've raised more questions of why guys act the way they do, or what actually happens when you put four guys in a studio without a female moderator. So,
well, I don't get to say what it be the way I usually do. So.
Exactly.
Okay, well, so last week, if you listened to the show, the ladies answered questions, and now it's kind of our turn. So we've had people writing in with their questions for guys to answer. And I think we've assembled a highly esteemed panel here.
Jeremy.
Our moms like us, right? And Jeremy.
My mom does believe I'm highly qualified for this.
That's good. Is that a note from her right down there?
That is, yeah. Yes. She wrote me a note of encouragement.
Excellent. That's good. It was in your lunch, right?
It was not in my lunch.
Which she forgot, so she had to bring it.
Yeah,
she had to remember how
with
embarrassing.
With a sweatshirt, because it was a little cold today.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Shawl. It was a shawl.
Shawl. Uh-huh.
All right, so we're going to jump into these questions, because we know that people are so eager to delve into the deep mind of us guys, right? Mm. And I don't know if I mean that seriously or not. I think it just depends on the day and the moment, and if there's a game on or anything else like that. So here goes, first question, and we'll just kind of let it go. Nobody has to raise their hands. We're not going to do this formal, you know, anything. Let's just see where it goes. So here's our first question written in by our boundless audience. What's your advice for a girl who seems to be constantly friend-zoned? It seems like every nice Christian guy drops me squarely in the friend zone, so I've never been asked out.
Never?
Well, I have, but this is her.
Oh,
so
this is her talking.
So
okay,
what
gotcha.
do we say to this person who seems constantly in the friend zone?
Man, that's such a broad question for what was probably specifically different reasons in every case. For example, I wouldn't be surprised if one or two of them weren't trying to put her in the friend zone and maybe wanted to date her, and maybe they got a different vibe from her and or didn't know what to do. And like, I bet in each of those situations, it was probably different for each guy. Because
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good answer. Or maybe you should hang out with Christian men.
Yes.
Men.
Semantics,
okay.
Right?
Keep going.
You know, it kind of reminds me actually of, remember when you used to have your yearbook sign? And everybody would just write, like, you're just such a sweet guy. It was kind of like code that none of the girls really liked you. You were just the sweet guy. And you're like, oh, I'm another sweet guy to that person, too.
Yeah, because if they liked you, it would have been the phone number.
Maybe.
With a call me, right?
What if they said you're a sweet guy and they gave you the phone number?
Yes.
What's that?
What if they said you're a sweet guy and they gave you the phone number?
Well, then I think that's a whole other message.
Yeah, then I think that's
well,
like,
I think that highlights the problem here. The problem, well, no, I think the phone numbers are pretty clear. Indication.
I would agree.
I just need to know, I guess what I'm saying is I need to know the specifics of each guy she got friend-zoned by. Like, what was it that, because she says she feels like she gets friend-zoned. Is she really getting friend-zoned? Is she misreading other cues? Are the guys misreading her cues? I bet that in any of those with each of those different guys, it's a different reason why she feels that way. Yeah.
On behalf of the next questions, I agree.
Yeah. No. Well, that's
good.
Let's
move on.
Yeah. I think you're right. Let's move on.
Cut the chick.
Okay. Here we go. Question number two. Why are you looking online while surrounded by dozens of incredible single believing women who long to be married?
This feels like it's a question to a very specific guy.
Phil, why aren't you looking at
Don? Looking. When I am one of those, there's not dozens. She's just the one. She's the one.
Yeah.
Right?
Or she's got several friends that have also liked the same guy.
Got
and
it.
They all are saying,
pick at least one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
But how do they know he's on online dating unless they're on online dating?
Exactly. Whoa. I mean, they have those fake profiles.
That's what I want to know. How do they know he's looking online?
Exactly.
Maybe he told him.
Maybe he's like Paul and he's intentionally celibate.
Well, but then why is he dating
more
online?
Biblical. Well, that's a good point. Well, how do they know?
I guess if he's dating online and he never meets them in person, that's an easy way to stay celibate.
Why are we assuming we're talking about dating online and not pornography or something?
Well, because
listeners.
Okay. Let's keep moving.
We're talking about so okay. well. Here's an interesting counterpoint to all this.
He probably feels friend zoned by all the dozens of women.
Yeah, what kind of vibe are you sending to this Don?
Yes. We've targeted that as clearly to like one person. Mm-hmm. That
right. I feel bad for Don.
Yeah, this guy's in trouble. You know, we've got some insider information here, though, that may give us another side of this story.
That'd
Ross actually met his wife online.
I did.
So, Ross,
why did you look online when there were dozens of
believing women?
Well, who desire marriage?
That is a great point to be brought up, because I did see a girl at a church and was going to that church, and I was very interested in her, and she put me in the friend zone and would not show me any sign of, hey, let's actually take this to the next level. Try to take her on a date. She'd bring a whole bunch of friends along and stuff without telling me, and I'd just show up and be like, wow, am I buying dinner for everybody here? Or what's going on?
Taking 37 people out.
Yeah, exactly. The 12 girls that were a part of that group.
The dozens.
The dozens.
They're like, here's your dozens of girls.
Here's the board. Here, let's pick one.
They were all into you, and she didn't feel that it was fair
to share
for her
just
to have
me.
The only
yes,
shot.
I understand.
She
had
to
see
online selection
and that
in person.
Was she brought
problem,
online to you.
Is mm-hmm. that I couldn't swipe right on any of them, so I had to move on.
Yeah, that'd
and
be
so,
inappropriate. That's
yeah, inappropriate. Exactly. Yeah. So I did end up moving towards online dating to see what was out there. And
because she didn't bring 12 friends.
She did not, no. Yeah, no. My
was she local? Or I mean, she's
was,
local now, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she did come with me
well, that's
with
good.
Our children.
That's good.
Yes, exactly. But no, yeah, I ended up meeting her online and... that was an experience all on its own, but we ended up actually dating and then getting married. So
you were frustrated with that situation. What pushed you then to go online?
Oh, that's a good question. So, yes, I was frustrated with the lack of communication. I keep asking questions saying, hey, where is this going? Where is this going? I actually tried to initiate, and it was a very, very kind of bubbly type of answer from her. And so I keep thinking, is this going to go anywhere? And then her friends would kind of give me some insight saying, yeah, she's not really in the mood to date right now. So I'm like,
But
she wouldn't say it outright to me. And she'd keep kind of leading me on a little bit, and then we'd go, and I would say, hey, let's go to Disneyland. We both had, you know, Disney passes and stuff. And then all of a sudden, five of her friends would show up. Hey, my buddies are here. It's like, yeah, I think you called them. So, yeah.
Suspicious. I wonder,
it was very suspicious. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, how much of it just comes down to we dance around these topics instead of being direct.
Exactly.
On both sides of it, guys are guilty of it too, of trying to feel around to say instead of just say, look, do you like me? Do you want to date with me exclusively?
Exactly.
I like that approach.
You like that?
Yeah.
You know, I think
Move
some
on.
Of this thing actually is
so maybe
not
she should
so
not
fast.
Ask that. She should ask that question to him.
You know, I think some of it too is we just get hung up with all the choices we have.
That is,
you know,
psychologically
if there was no
sound.
Online dating, you'd be looking at your church, you'd be doing whatever you can to like, wow, I hope I can meet someone someday. And the fact that you can sit wherever and just scroll through and look at all these people and all these profiles, I think it's captivating because it's like, well, what is out there and who is out there? And I think the choice just becomes this kind of intoxicating thing where it's a lot easier, it's a lot less noncommittal to sit back in a coffee place and just look at profiles online than it is to go somewhere physically and try to meet people.
And it'd be a lot cheaper, too, because, you know, buying the coffee or buying, you know, dinner for 30 of her friends, too, can be a little expensive.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our next question that these eager minds want to know from us. A man recently told me that I'm smart, attractive, and dateable. Let me just say again, this is not me talking about myself.
Oh, so
just a little disclaimer
here. Good to know.
So we're going to start over. A man recently told me that I'm smart, attractive, and dateable, but he won't actually date me and doesn't have interest. Why would he do that? What am I supposed to do?
Do you not like the compliment when he's walking away from you? Mm-hmm. That'd feel good to me. And then thank you for leaving since you're not interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like he at least made it clear that he's not interested in dating you, and he was trying to couch that with a very direct, it's not that he's saying it's not that you should give up on the idea of dating in general. You're dateable. It's just not with me.
Yeah.
Right. That seems pretty straightforward.
It's pretty cut and dry to me.
Yeah. And I think the problem is overanalyzing it. Don't overanalyze that.
Move on.
I think what he's trying to say is you're dateable. That's not why I'm rejecting you. It just won't work with me.
Even more so, too, he doesn't say, I think you are these things. He says, you are these things. So
he's trying to affirm what she already is.
Yeah, just trying to be friendly and be nice. But if he said, I think you are these things, then, of course, it makes it more personal, and then it kind of shows a signal of, yeah, I would like to date you type of thing.
I think the consensus, if he says you're dateable, but I'm not going to date you, then move on. I think what I'm supposed to do is don't worry about him.
Mm-hmm. No, take the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Take the win. Woo. Okay. How can you tell the difference between a guy just being easygoing and him being passive? Ooh, the fine line.
Well, you can be easygoing and still ask a question. Like, easygoing is a personality trait. Passive is just not progressing in anything. So if it's easygoing, they may be easy to hang around with. They may joke and laugh, but they're still going to ask you out at some point. Passive is where they just never get to that point, and they're never doing anything.
When you shake his hand, is it like shaking a dead fish? Then he's passive.
That's a good point.
The cold, clammy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it. We're done, right?
Cut the check.
Next question. Man, we're tearing through these now. What makes a man... we can't. This one's not going to be a quick one. What makes a man feel respected or conversely disrespected? I think this is probably an entire show.
It could be, definitely.
Easily.
That sounds like a quick answer. This is an entire show.
Next. We can just talk to the producers.
We could write a book about this one.
Right.
I think there probably has been a few books.
In fact, let me refer you to Love and Respect by Emerson Eggers.
Studies show that most men... Anybody want to weigh in on this?
Do we
this
want
one?
To still give any?
No, it's unique to each man.
Yeah.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, that is the punt, but it is reality.
I think, you know, each one of us would have, you know, based on temperaments and who we are and all that kind of stuff, there's definitely things that are going to make us feel much more built up or torn down. But I would think there's also some universal, like, nobody in this studio here is probably a fan of being talked to in a condescending way, you know, all those kind of things that would make you feel like, wow, that was pretty disrespectful.
Right.
Or
yeah,
you do a favor for somebody, and instead of saying thanks, they're like, oh, you forgot to do that too. You know, like, oh, come on, what was that all about? So I know there's some definite things. If we had to come up with, you know, the short list, we could help this person out.
Yeah, I think the short list is the human being things. Be interested in them, like we all want that, right? And feel respected when people are interested in what we do and what we like, because those are, we like it or not, we take many of those things on as identity. So when someone's interested and willing to listen and be engaged with who we are and be interested in us, that we feel respected.
It was beautiful.
It was.
Thank you.
And for me, I would say also too, the biggest thing that I see with my wife, at least regards to respecting me, is that if there's something I'm doing and then she starts to question it, I start to second guess myself. But I like that actual opportunity to be able to show, okay, I know what I'm doing here. Trust me in this situation and let's move forward. And one of the best examples I've heard more recently was finding a parking spot at a, you know, grocery store or something like that. You're driving up and the wife points out something and says, hey, look, there's a spot. It's like, yeah, no, let me find it for myself. I want to, you know, provide this for my family. I want to be able to actually show that I can give you guys a good parking spot that's nice and safe and where I like to be able to park and show you guys that. So
let's unpack this one, because I like parking away from the store. So am I disrespecting
too.
My family?
I park for the exit.
Yeah.
I park for the exit. I park for the safety of being able to get the kids out of the car, because, you know, you've got those shopping cart return places and stuff. Mm. So you like to have a little bar, a little separation from the car next to you and stuff, so that they're not banging the car.
So you like your kids. That's okay.
I do like the kids. Yeah.
Well, I just don't want to take out a quarter panel.
That too.
You know,
yes.
A lot of times you're like, there's a spot, and you're like, there is absolutely no way this thing is getting to that spot. We are moving on.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sorry.
So you're saying trust the process. And
exactly.
Rather than passive aggressively questioning your process,
right.
Ask you to walk, you know, say, oh, like, talk me through your process. What's your goal?
Yeah. Or even at the end
what
of it, just
going
say,
towards?
You know, good job. You,
or
you
just
had
sit
a good
there
spot.
Say, okay. Hmm. Great spot. Honey.
Great spot. Love
great
it.
Spot, Ross.
You have to walk 5 miles in the snow, but we're there.
I think, yeah. I think actually universally we could probably say don't backseat drive.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't backseat drive. Okay.
Yeah, Gary Chapman's talked about that one.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
He says just put your hand on his leg and that works.
Well, that's a plus too, but that's getting into something else. So yeah, here it is. It's why did you go that way? Why are you taking that way? Why didn't you turn there? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to do those. Yeah, let's just not do
good.
That.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't think any guy.
That's
like,
not asking about the process. That's questioning.
I'm so stoked
process.
When
right,
somebody
exactly.
does that to me.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. They question my judgment. Okay, so this is actually a complicated question. I think it could take an entire show. So we're going to, after the taping here, we're going to get together and spend 3-4 hours and come up with this comprehensive list or something, because I really think that on the fly, this one's a toughie. It's a deep one. And yeah, I think we're going to leave it at that. We're going to move along. All right, here's another question. How do men move on so quickly after a breakup while we process, pine, shed tears, and harbor feelings over a guy even years later?
Who broke up with who?
Mm-hmm. Is it Don again?
Yeah, who broke up with who? And this depends on personality.
Yeah,
I have seen and had women in my life who I've seen move on very, very quickly before they were even out of the relationship and vice versa. So this might be a personality thing more than a gender thing.
Oh, I had a relationship breakup, and I actually wrote at one time this just super poetic love letter, you know, the sun can always break through the clouds kind of a thing that you would think, you know, most women would be like, wow. And her response was seriously like, what is this? You're an idiot. I mean, she had absolutely no, so you can't.
Yeah,
can't
this
stereotype.
Is not a gender one. Yeah, this is a personality thing.
And you know what I would say on this actually is that I think a lot of times guys don't move on quickly. We just fake it better. I think a lot of times we internalize things. We deal with our emotions and things in a different way. So we may not shed tears and do all these kinds of things, but we're going to struggle with it, you know. But it might be deep down. It might be more of an anger thing. It might manifest itself in other ways, but it's not like, oh wow, that 3-year relationship's over. Oh well, maybe I can find someone else, you know. Oh look, my favorite show. I think we all deal with it to some degree. So it's, I think this is maybe an overgeneralization. It's just, I think it leans more on that guys don't show our emotions as much.
I think also it's how much you've invested in it. So if the guy's invested a whole bunch into it, then yeah, you're going to write the poems, you're going to make it all, you know, a big emotional thing. And if the girl's not so invested in it initially or doesn't really ever get to that level, then the moving on is going to be a lot easier down the road. But yeah, guys compartmentalize things and they can make it so it's separated from work, from life, from everything else they got going on. But if they've invested so much in it that everything's so intertwined, then when they actually do break up, then they can definitely be more heartbroken over it.
Does anybody need a hug? Are we okay after that one? Bring up some bad memories
feel
of the
great
past,
right?
Okay, we got time for one more question. The last question. Why do we generally see few single men involved in church? And if he's not going to church or only goes because of a very involved woman, is that necessarily a sign of problems to come?
Yes.
That is.
That was a short answer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Next, let's do two.
Let's do another one.
Well, I mean the second part of that question, absolutely yes. If this guy's only going to church because he thinks you're hot or whatever, that's not the right motivation to be going to church.
Why do we see so few? I don't know.
But let's go back to the first. I think this: why do we generally see few single men involved in the church?
Because they're all online.
They're looking at the dating
looking
signs.
For
dating
signs.
When
exactly.
There's all these Christian women around them.
Mm-hmm. Dozens. Yeah.
They don't have time for church. They're swiping right and left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no right answer. It's just, yes, there are problems.
Yeah, another one that's going to be different for the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's video games. Sometimes it's climbing in the mountains. Sometimes it's skiing. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
But the guys got to get your priorities straight.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because really, you know, all those other things will come, but really you need to get to church. Work on yourself, work on your heart, your spiritual life, right? Everything else falls together. Isn't that what the Bible says? See, I threw in some scripture there. Wasn't that good?
Good job.
It all falls together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, that is it. And thanks, guys. This was hopefully fulfilling to the listeners. If not, we apologize sincerely. We promise to do better next time.
Well, I don't think we will make them apologize for that. It was actually really insightful and great to hear from the guys and their advice. So, ladies, if you have more questions, go over to boundless.org, search for 581. That is this week's show. And we're going to have some articles linked there. One of them is called Why Guys Need Our Respect. Another one is Myth or Math. There just aren't enough good guys.